Good morning, everybody.
We had a couple birthdays here lately. One was Rick Usler. He turned up there in, you know, I don't know, 40, 50s, somewhere up there. And I mean, high number. Man's got gray hair. He's getting old, I tell you. Paul turned 57 yesterday.
Happy birthday.
And, you know, I can tell the excitement of his old age. He's just really excited about it. And, you know, one step closer to the Lord, I suppose. Paul says he always put me a step or two closer. Praise God. No, happy birthday. Both those guys are, they've been huge in my walk in the Lord. They've been huge, you know, and if it wasn't for them praying for me, you know, I don't know if I'd be here right now, to be honest with you. Actually, I'm pretty sure I would. You know, I know Paul was, I know Davey and, I know Paul and, Paul was telling me the other night, you know, said his foot and he goes, I was praying for you. I don't know how much in faith. So, you know, I know Davey and Rick and a lot of other people were, at the times when I'm out but what Paul didn't see was that, you know, Paul was always somebody that I knew, and no matter how stupid of things that I have done, no matter, and they were stupid, no matter what, that I could always swing by his place and talk to him. You know, Paul never shut that door. He kept that door open. And, you know, that was praise the Lord. You know, and that's, you know what? That's what we're called to do. You know? And so we're called to do as part of the body. And I want to, you know, I was reading this morning. I think one of the things that we'll go to is Romans 12. You know, and this is something that, for me, I mean, you know, I need to hear. I need to remember, you know, what it's about. We've been talking about, in John 2, now don't turn to John 2, still go to Romans. But, and you know, the 1 John 2, think 6, you know, walking as he walked. You know, that's Jesus. And here are some of the ways in Romans 12 how we ought to be. How we ought to be, and I say this because, you know, it convicts me. I don't know about you guys, but it convicts me. Walking as he walked. I know I'm not there yet. But I know it's possible. Or he wouldn't have commanded us to do it. Right? You know? And it's the simple fact of this is just of being obedient to him. You know, it's not by our good works, it's not by anything we do that we have salvation, is it? No. It's about what Jesus Christ did. And taking the sins of the whole world, that's what it's about. It's about his righteousness. He came down here to walk in the perfect obedience to the Father for you and me, that we may have eternal life. So he can have that extra cloak of righteousness to cover you in. So when God the Father comes down and he comes and gets his people, he sees his son Jesus and that righteousness and he grabs them. He doesn't see us. Praise God. Praise God. So we have that. But what do we do to walk in that? Well, we choose to believe it. We choose to believe it. You choose to believe him and his righteousness. And when we choose to believe him and his righteousness, what are we going to do? We're going to be obedient to his word. You know, I've been talking a lot about Noah, but here I am going to talk about him again. Because Noah walked righteous before God. What was the evidence that Noah walked righteous before God? He obeyed him. He built the ark. You know, if he didn't believe God, he would have been like, dude, I'm not wasting all my time building that boat. You know, that's what he would have done. He would have thought of it as nothing. You know, and how many of us, and I could take a look, I'd speak for myself, how many times have I looked at the Word of God and looked at what He's commanded me to do, or my authorities have given me down from up top, and I looked at it and I said, oh, that's a lot of time, I don't think I'm going to mess with that. You know, because that puts me in a place really not believing Him. Or trusting in His righteousness. It's really what it comes down to. You know, we can say we love the Lord. Hallelujah, we love the Lord. But do we do as He says? You know, what is His commandments? He says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And really, what is His commandments? Love God, love one another. It's simple. It's not easy. Because why? We are selfish. Don't like doing it. Too much about ourselves. But really, that's bondage. That's bondage. There's no freedom there. You're always trapped in the snare of that carnal mind of what can I do to please myself next? That's what it is. You know, freedom is loving God, loving one another. You're all about His business. You're all about preferring others before yourself. And really, you know when you walk in that. Sometimes it's not fun. Sometimes the choice is utterly very hard to do. And sometimes we utterly fall in that. I have. Just a couple days ago, I was thinking about I have. But when you make that choice, there's no joyous place. There's no more joy. I mean, that's a joyous place to be. When you're all about His business, the Lord shows up. The Lord shows up in a way that you never thought. You know, in just little things. You see it. And you've seen it with your families where you say, okay, Lord, what would you have me do today? And you take the time and you really seek out and make Him Lord over your life. And then you go about doing something. You might not really want to do it, but what you find is when you start doing it, the Lord starts opening doors up. And blessing starts coming abound. You end up having a great time. Now, I've done that with my family many times. Well, I really what I didn't do is just go rent a movie and sit down and not do anything or really spend that much time with them. But actually, you know what, Philip? Have a Bible study with your family. Teach them about me. You know what, Philip? Go play a game with them. Interact with them. Philip, have them come wash your car with them. That needs to get done anyways. You know, I mean, and these little things. I mean, just that little voice, just being obedient to that little thing, I've been blessed mightily in. You know, I mean, it was just the other day I was riding home from work. I got off early on Monday, and I was coming home from work, and I was just wiped. I wanted to go home just sleep, being lazy. And I believe it. I don't know if the Lord is not. I believe it was the Lord saying, you know, hey, just why don't you wash your car and you get that done? Have the girls help you. You know, we ended up washing that car. And you know what they were learning? They were learning to be obedient. Oh, do it like this. Do it like that. We worked as a team. I managed it. And we got the car looking good, man. We had a great time in it. And then we did some history lessons. And then we went to and did some Bible study. And it was just a huge blessing. But see, at that moment, I had a choice, right? I know this is small, but it's huge to me. And anybody who's got kids understand that. But I mean, I had a choice to make, to just listen to that, just that nudge of, why don't you just get your grab your kids and clean the car? I was tired, man. I didn't want to. I had a choice that I could make. I could sit my lazy butt down, not do anything, watch TV. Or I could have been obedient to that. No, I chose to be obedient to that. And I'm telling you, this is an example of me being obedient in something, not I hit this mark every day. I mean, let's clarify this. But I was obedient in that, and I was blessed mightily. But you know, the thing is he's calling us to be obedient all the time. All the time. You don't know what that's going to bring about. You don't know the fruit of that obedience. In fact, of a man's obedience here, many are in this building. I don't know if this building would be here and we'd be doing service right now if one man was not obedient to the word of the Lord and coming down and preaching the gospel to the people that need to hear it. Think about that. That's how important it is. It really is. Or those guys praying for me. Davey, Ricky, Paul, Steve, and all those guys are praying for me, and whoever else I missed out, I know there's probably many more. Thank you guys sincerely. But if they wasn't praying for me and Paul didn't have that door open that many times to me, I wouldn't be here. There wouldn't be a Philip right now. I know that. As many times I kissed death of my own stupidity. The Lord was good. The Lord was gracious. And He opened up His door to me. And His hand's out to us now. And I don't want to take this opportunity that we have to be obedient to Him and to learn His ways, take that for granted. I don't want us to miss that, guys. You really don't know what that's going to do for the next person. You really don't. I'm standing here and looking at a crowd of people and I'm going, wow. Because I can see it. I know when this ministry was, well, when it was started down here. I know when somebody came and preached the gospel to Paul, I don't think Paul would be here. You know, that, I mean, it's just, it's amazing and it's very important. It's life or death. We're all going to die. This sinful flesh of mine is going to die. But where is my soul going to be? Is it going to be with the devils and his angels, or is it going to be with Jesus Christ in eternity with Him? So I said I was going to Romans 12, and I'll start. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Which is your reasonable service. The Lord came down and laid His life down for us. It's just reasonable for us to do the same for Him and for others. Not the death of any of us will save anybody. It's only Jesus Christ. But we're to live out that gospel. We're His body. To bring out that gospel and that life to others. To tell people, others, about Jesus and how good He is. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as the God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. On he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. He's telling us the guidelines right here how to operate. We all have a calling, whatever it may be. You know, I was reading a little bit in the Corinthians this morning about being a faithful steward of the gospel of Christ. And Paul was referring to himself at the time. And you just think about what is given to your charge. All of us have something given to our charge. Are we faithful unto the Lord in that? Fathers, mothers, children, servants, all of us have an instruction in the epistles on how we ought to walk this out. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And that goes off from the children all the way to the adults all the way up. I mean, that's a never ending right there. It says, your wives, how you ought to be to your husbands. It tells your fathers how you ought to be to your children and to your wife. She's your own flesh. You're to love her and take care of her like your own. Tells ministers how to be to the church of God. Tells brothers and sisters how to love one another. Lay down your life for them. Put them before yourself. That's love. And it just depends on what perspective you have of if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's a good thing. But when our perspectives are on ourselves, ooh, it's a hard thing, isn't it? I know all of us have been there. I don't want to be there no more. I don't want to be there no more. But you know, we're not just to be hearers of the word. We're not just to clock in on Sunday and on Thursday nights and on the Bible studies. Man, what does it profit if we just hear it and we don't go about doing it? There's no profit at all in that. In fact, it just is just more accountability that you're not living up to. And you're thinking to yourselves, you know, where it talks about be not of this world, but be transformed in by the renewing of mind, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You know, as we go out in the world, man, it's easy to get caught up in the world in their ways, isn't it? Yeah, because we're so much like it. Or naturally, we are just like that. But we're to put off that. We're to put off that carnal mind. That's how anybody will know the love of Christ unless we live out the gospel and be that body that He's called us to be. He's already came down on this earth, folks. He has done His part, guys. Now He's giving that to us to carry out. To do what? Thy will, O God. He's given it to us to do. So let's take a hold of that. Let's be partakers of that grace. Knowing so much that you don't deserve it. That I don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve it. But the Lord was good to me. And may I live that out to show others how good the Lord was to me. And that in the same manner the Lord was good to me, the Lord can be good to them if but they yet just choose. He's done the work. He's finished it. Let's walk in that victory. Let's take that little thing or that big thing or whatever. It's all a big thing. Whatever the Lord has given you to be faithful in, let's take a hold of it and let's get serious about it. Don't take yourself too seriously, but let's get serious about the Lord's business. Amen? And watch the Lord bless it. Watch the Lord bless it. Watch tears of joy come to your eyes when you do it. This is good. Watch Him expound the things that happen. Above you can ask or think. That's what it says in Ephesians, doesn't it? Above we can ask or think. That's how good the Lord. We can't dream of how good the Lord is. But we're all to become faithful stewards of what the Lord's done for you and ministering that out. We're all to become stewards of the grace of God. We're all called to be ministers, not pew warmers, man. Let's not take that gift and throw it down. Let's take that carnal man and throw it down and take upon that gift that He's given to you. Let's walk in that victory that He has set us free in. Amen?
Well, welcome, everybody. There's some interesting usages in Romans 12 that correspond with what Paul tells us to do elsewhere. Of course, it's the same everywhere, not just in Romans 12. A lot of good marking this did. I still couldn't find it. This idea of I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, is in Colossians what he tells us to do is to mortify the deeds of the flesh. It is how we have learned to operate in these bodies. They're our interface, their life support systems for the souls that are within us and for the carnal man. And we are either ruled, we make choices based on who is ruling us, whether the Lord is our Lord or we're still about ourselves and serving our carnality. And, you know, Paul says, mortify, kill it. So this idea of a sacrifice, as Phil said, it is walking as Jesus walked. He was our sacrifice. He was the sacrifice for the world. And He became sin. And this, being not conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that's where the struggle is for everybody. Because you start yielding to the carnal mind and you start being conformed to the world rather than transformed by the Spirit, by obedience to the Word of life. You know, that sent me back over to 2 Corinthians, where the choice is about whether you're going to utilize the weapons. You've been given the weapons to deal with all this stuff, and now you got to make the choice, right? It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. This is simply just a life support system for the renewed person that Jesus made us. For the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You're not going to get there by sitting down and waiting on God to put you there. You get there by choosing to abide there, by obeying His Word. And obeying His Word requires that you don't prefer yourself. It requires that you prefer the brethren. That you don't prefer yourself and rule your life. The commandments of the Lord and the Word of the Lord rule your life. You prefer His Word and His commandments to rule your life rather than yourself. So you operate accordingly. It's a choice. You either do it or you don't. It's black and white. Not hard to grasp a concept. It's hard to do it and be about pleasing yourself, though. Doesn't work that way. Yes, double. Philip was quoting James: "Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Yes, he is. Looks like he's got it, getting it one minute, and the next minute he's all about himself, and being irritated by everything everybody else does. They're just out to get me. They just want to make me miserable. Their hearts are evil all day long. Evil intent towards me. They just want to hurt me. But, you know, the good thing here is, and yeah, this is a challenge. This is a challenge that, are you going to believe the Word? Well, the Word says that without Jesus, I can do nothing. In another place, and Jesus said that in John 15. In Philippians, Paul says the contrary, the opposite. Not contrary, but the opposite thing, which is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's the same idea, just stated a different way. And it is a second witness, if you needed one. If you believe that word, and John 2:6, which says you ought to also walk as He walked, then it's a really good idea to find out how He walked and to pattern yourself after it. And expect that in the same way the Father met Him, that He's going to meet you. And as you speak the truth, He confirms His Word. When you speak the truth of His Word, He confirms His Word with power unto the saving of souls. Unto Him showing Himself to these people in the Word that you preach. And that is what it's all about. It's all it's ever been about. Not about putting 15,000 people in here. It's about changing people's lives through the preaching of the truth and the consistent teaching of the truth and the consistent pursuing the mind of the Lord. And every time you do that, you're going to come across an opportunity to show that you believe Him and you trust His Word. Now, my prayer for everybody in this room is that we are able to show that and let Him manifest Himself in power and minister the love and grace of how good the Lord is, opening up an opportunity for Him to be good to you. He wants to be good to you. You know, everybody in this room who came, who had stuff and then lost it all, and then has been restored in a way that is without the debt and the strings and the attachments of the world. The Lord's good. I encourage you to soften your heart and open up an opportunity for Him to be good to you and good for others through you. In Jesus' name, amen.